see how I live in my crew. Keep it on 10.
Outlet away, and the Suns have it. Six to play. Booker, this is for the win. Got it! Wow!
What a shot by Devin Booker. Unbelievable play. But again, that's what the great players do.
Man, that Booker shot was amazing. But what made it even better was the reaction from behind him, the virtual Clippers fans. They knew it was going in. This was so great to see. Kendrick, do you think this is the last time Clippers virtual fans will experience pain in the bubble, or should they get used to their poses there?
They might as well get used to this, because this is about to be happening to them all playoffs.
Oh, come on.
Especially when it comes down to the Lakers. The Lakers fans are going to be running, rubbing it all in their face. And by the way, that was an and one. And one.
Zach, they don't play the Lakers every game. And by the way, they've beaten the Lakers twice this season. I'm just going to say that. Welcome to The Jump. I am Rachel Nichols, coming to you from inside the NBA bubble. You can see behind me, I'm at the Wide World of Sports Complex at Walt Disney World, and they're warming up for Sixers, Washington Wizards, so we'll keep you abreast of that throughout the show. Pretty cool here, right? It's just so great to have NBA basketball back, and also, of course, to have these guys back. Today, I am joined by ESPN senior writer Zach Lowe and the NBA champ, Mr. Kendrick Perkins. Coming up, guys, we're going to show a little more love to the Suns, who are undefeated inside the bubble. Oh, yes. It's the glorious return of Sons of Anarchy. One of my favorites. How long will our hot streak last? We will discuss. First, though, I want to move on to another jump show within a show. Oh, yes. Melodrama. It's back and in full effect after getting canceled after 10 episodes back in 2018. We don't have to talk about that. There's reboots all over television. We're rebooting Melodrama. We've seen many different versions of Melo since the start of his show in 2016. Knicks Melo, Thunder Melo, Rockets Melo, Hoodie Melo, and most recently, Blazers Melo. Last night, Carmelo came up clutch on offense and defense late in their win over the Rockets. He scored 15 points, including, of course, this three-point dagger in the final minutes. He also grabbed 11 rebounds. After the game, Damian Lillard delivered a message to all the Melo haters out there.
I mean, he's a Hall of Famer. You know, I think it's more disappointing that people are surprised by it. You know what I mean? He's a Hall of Famer, like I said. He's a great teammate, and that's what we expect from him. You know, we put him in those positions because we expect him to make those shots. We believe he's going to make those shots, and we brought him here because we knew he would make a difference for our team, and he's been doing that.
Kendrick, do you think people were too quick to write Melo off there?
Yeah, it was. Listen, the thing was that people were saying that Melo was done. He wasn't done. Melo is one of those guys that come out of their mother's womb that could just play the game of basketball, Rachel. He's a walking bucket. The thing that Melo struggled with was accepting a lesser role, not being a number one guy no more. But you know, listening to Dame interview last night and just now, he trusts, the Portland Trail Blazers trust Melo to knock down the big shots, and he's doing that. He's playing phenomenal basketball on the offensive end, but I've been more impressed with Melo on the defensive end. He's in shape, he's guarding, he's rebounding at a high level, and kudos to Carmelo Anthony for proving all the haters wrong.
Yeah, he had a block and a steal in crunch time last night. It's not just the scoring. Look, you can't argue with 15 points a game, 38% shooting from three, and like Perk said, he's doing all the complimentary stuff. Like, he goes into ISO mode every now and then, but it's usually after he sets a screen and gets a mismatch, gets a smaller guy on him, and you know what? Let him cook if he does that. Again, 38% from three, and you mentioned the rebounding. Still to this day, nobody lets you know like he's got a rebound louder than Carmelo Anthony. He will tell you to get out of there because he's got the rebound. It's a great, in a horrible, horrible year, Carmelo is a really nice story.
Absolutely, and he will tell you loudly and sometimes with a few curse words, unless his son Kyan is in the building or even just virtually. I'm thrilled to see Melo having so much success. He's such an important voice in the league. He's shown so much leadership, and as you saw last night, he can still play the basketball, just saying. All right, I want to move on to some really unfortunate news for the Memphis Grizzlies. This was such a bummer. one of their young stars, all-around good guys, Jaren Jackson Jr., is going to miss the rest of the season after tearing his meniscus. The Grizzlies, they're just clinging to a 1.5-game lead for eighth out West. Memphis is actually in action against Utah right now, so we can take a little bit of look at this. Jaren Jackson Jr. on the sidelines, cheering on his squad, even though he's injured in the first quarter. Mike Conley with a step-back three. Later, Ja Morant giving a little hezzy and finish. Woo! Ja also had the steal and the dunk. They are looking good out there. So, Zach, what are your expectations for the Grizzlies after losing Jaren Jackson Jr.?
It's such a terrible blow. He's been their best player in the bubble. He's one of the best young big men in the entire league, one of the most versatile. And the Grizzlies are just running out of guys. Remember, they're starting small forward, at least purportedly. Justice Winslow isn't playing for them at all. They're down two starters now. They have five tough games left. I mean, there are now realistic scenarios where they don't even get into the play-in tournament, where they finish 10th and Portland and New Orleans or something get into the play-in tournament. You got to think they're going to get one of these next five. Like, they're a good enough team, they're going to get one. Can they get two? If they can get two, they're safe. I think that's dicey. Their schedule is really tough, and they're running out of guys.
And Rachel, you know my love for Ja Morant. You know how I feel about him. But with Jaren Jackson Jr. going down as their second best player, a versatile big, a guy who's the sky's the limit, I just don't see them winning the game from here on out. And I think they're going to drop out of the playoff race. And I, like Zach said, I don't even see them having a chance to compete for a play-in, because I don't think they're going to be able to sustain that eighth spot. And it's sad because they worked 59 games before the bubble to put themselves in position, and now they have a blow in their second-best player, and now it's going to affect them, and I don't think that they're going to make the playoffs.
It's so interesting. Yeah, it's so interesting, guys, because as you mentioned, Ferg, it's not just is someone going to catch them and be in the ninth seed and close enough to force a play-in game. If we can throw the standings back up there, the Grizzlies do have the hardest schedule left, not just of the teams competing for eighth, but for any team here in the bubble. And that's not random. They had a particularly hard schedule coming up when the league shut down, so they tried to make it commensurate. And the question now is, can they even stay in play-in position? Will they be able to be in eighth or ninth? Or are they going to drop out of that altogether? And are we going to see the Suns and Blazers or the Spurs or the Pelicans against each other in the play-in and the Grizzlies not even there? Do you think ultimately when it comes down to it, Kendrick, who do you see being eight lining against up against the Lakers at number one when we open the first week of playoff basketball?
Rachel, I'm saying it right now. I'm not going back on it. It's going to be Dame Dollar and the Portland Trail Blazers. Look, they have all the pieces. They're playing inspiring, winning basketball. They look good. CJ doing his thing. Carmelo is playing his role. Big Nurkic, man, he's coming back. He looks phenomenal. Zach Collins look good. But listen, they have an unsung hero who has been playing great on both ends of the floor, and his name is Gary Trent Jr. This kid is a stud. I thought them losing Trevor Ariza, not being down there in the bubble, they wouldn't have that guy to fill that void, but he's been doing that and more, and I'm locking the Portland Trail Blazers in that eighth spot to play against the Los Angeles Lakers come playoff time.
I agree. I think Portland is the best team in that bunch. They're in position now to get into that play-in tournament, and whether they get in at eighth or ninth and they got to win two games, I'm picking them to win. This is an entirely new team with Nurkic and Collins back, and like Perk said, Gary Trent giving them huge minutes, crunch time minutes. And think about that. What a nightmare for the Lakers. If they get that team at number eight and they've got to go like Portland, Houston, Clippers to get out of the West, that is a murderer's row. And the Blazers, look, they have a tough schedule left. If they go 3-2, and I think they can get three of their next five, they're in really good shape to make the play-in. And if they make it, I'm picking them to win it.
Yeah, no, that's a great point, because if it came down to one of those do or die situations, and we always talk about that, right? You could talk about a guy's stats over the season, who's put together a full season of great play. But who do you want? Who do you want on the court if you had a game you absolutely had to win? There's probably five guys in the NBA who I would say are automatics for that position, and Damian Lillard is certainly one of them. So if they get into a play-in scenario, even if they're the ninth seed, then they'll have to win two play-in games in a row, but they are certainly a good bet. We will be watching all of them, and of course, our best wishes to Jaren Jackson Jr. Such a bright young light in this league, and I know he will be back better than ever. And the Grizzlies are still fighting. That game is going on, so we'll keep track of that too. Coming up later in this show, stick with us through this break, because it's a make or miss league, folks. We've got the videos to prove it. Luka Doncic, De'Aaron Fox, CJ McCollum pulling off some great moves on Tuesday. You're definitely going to want to stick to see these.
The Jump is brought to you by Corona Premier. Lower carbs, lower calories, 100% Corona.
I can't ever say I'm not dedicated to my craft. In the rain. Cold tub in the rain. I'm just too cold. Ice
from my head to toe.
Bob alive. Hey, nothing better than a 1 a.m. ice tub.
Ice tub, baby. Who wants to be great?
Cue me in, do the clapping, and be like, action. It's a make or miss league.
Maybe a little more funny than that.
I don't know what am I make or missing? It's a make or miss league. Cut that.
We love you, Jimmy Butler. All right, huge news out of last night's Rockets-Blazers game. Ben McLemore hit a mid-range shot. Yay! It was his first one since January 2019. I'm not being rude. That's just the truth. It's been a long time. He was a Sacramento King back then. Zach, how crazy is that span?
This is a make, and Ben McLemore, mid-range jokes aside, this dude was out of the league, going through some really horrible personal stuff, and fought for his career. And you know what? He's a key player on the Rockets, even making mid-range shots. Good for Ben McLemore.
I agree.
Well, he deserved to take a mid-range shot, Rachel, because he's been balling. He's been shooting and knocked down threes for the Rockets during this time in the bubble. And I just hope D'Antoni and Daryl Morey don't find them for breaking the code or not shooting.
That's exactly right. I mean, he's been making all the threes. It's not like he can't shoot. Maybe just, you know, need to get back comfortable. Mistraction, Luka dropped an absurd 30-20-10 triple-double yesterday. Also had this move and dish to KP. Oh, my Lord. We had some other nice moves here. De'Aaron Fox, CJ McCollum. Perk, as they all scroll through here, which one is your favorite?
It's Luka Doncic. Listen, we're talking about one of the greatest 20-year-olds to ever play the game of basketball, right? What he's doing right now is on Magic and LeBron James level. And his court vision is phenomenal. One of the best in the league. And those numbers that he put up yesterday, Jesus Christ, Luka, he's on a tear right now.
He's throwing some passes like behind his head and stuff. The answer is Luka. Luka fooled two people and then he fooled me by passing the ball.
All right, we gotta get to this. Bloopers, because Luka also, you know, check out this dunk attempt. I didn't go well. More embarrassing than the Gary Trent Jr. flop attempt, because there were a couple moments yesterday. Which one do you think is worse?
I love a good flop. Give me a good flop. I love a good flop. So I'm going Gary Trent. That's a first-class flop. The arms are flailing. He's falling backwards. Great flop. Great flop.
Yeah, I got to agree with you. Although I wasn't a flopper, but listen, anything to get the possession or get the refs to believe that it was a foul, I'm all in with you. But that was funny, though.
Kirk, if you flop, think about it. You have to get all the way back up again. I mean, that's a long body to get all the way up and down. All right, miss, other fits. Tim Hardaway Jr. showed up to yesterday's game in this iconic MJ 92 Barcelona fit. Look at this. This is so impressive. Kirk, has THJ set the bar impossibly high now?
Yes, he has. And listen, I'm pretty sure Russell Westbrook is not happy. I'm going to be excited to see his next wardrobe. But listen, Tim Hardaway showed up in great fashion, and he played pretty good yesterday, by the way. So if he go dress like that and he go perform well on the court, do what you do. I don't care if you show up in a Versace robe and some house slippers if you go perform like you did yesterday.
Yeah, we need to bring the fashion runway to the bubble to whatever degree is possible to get that NBA fashion runway into the bubble. So Tim Hardaway, great outfit, great NBA reference, and he's had a great season too.
All right, Make Vision, Mercury Dream. Check out this no-look, game-sealing dime from the GOAT, Diana Taurasi. Zach, I know we could do an entire show about your admiration for her. How much fun it is to watch her play again.
Can you look at that pass? There's like four humans in the history of the NBA who could throw that pass. Diana Taurasi is the greatest of all time. I don't want to hear any arguments about anybody else. Diana Taurasi is the best to ever do it and a complete badass, excuse my language.
Oh, and guess what, Zach? For the first time in 2 weeks, you have no argument for me. I'm talking about, listen, she could play in the bubble, NBA bubble. Rachel, do you know how hard that pass was? Oh. You know the game, Rachel. I respect it. Look at that dime. That was a dime. That was Magic Johnson, Lake Show type dime. Listen, she is special. And Zach, finally, I agree with you on something.
Diana Taurasi makes all things possible.
Absolutely. All right, we started the show, guys, with Devin Booker's game winner against the Clippers. Phoenix is now 3-0 in the bubble, which inspired us to bring back another one of our favorite Jump TV shows, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, Robert Sarver, and of course, the indomitable Phoenix resident Greta. It's Sons of Anarchy. And by the way, talk about anarchy. They are 3-0 in the bubble and causing all kinds of disruption. Perk, do you expect the Suns to keep riding this momentum?
Yes, I do. Listen, they're well coached by Monty Williams. And that win that they got yesterday against the Clippers was huge. And if you could beat the Clippers, then you probably could beat any. I like their chances against anyone else in the league because the Clippers are a contender. The Suns are playing inspiring basketball. They're playing together. And Devin Booker, first-time All-Star, is on a tear. So, yes, they can keep it up. I believe so.
I will eat a whole big plate of crow because I said the Suns and the Wizards shouldn't be in the bubble. They were too far behind. The Suns entered the bubble with a less than 1% chance of making the playoffs, and we were supposedly concerned about the number of people, blah, blah, blah. You know what? They're getting a lot out of this experience, whether they make the play-in or not. They're getting a ton out of this experience. And like Perk said, the Clippers game, that was the toughest game left on their schedule. Now, they got good teams still to come. But the way they're playing, they should be in every single one of those five games. I don't know if they win 5, 4, 3, whatever, but they should be in those games. If you can hang with the Clippers and go 3-0 to this point, you can hang with those teams.
Yeah, and look, they still have a way to go, but the fact that they are in competition here is so impressive. I'm curious to see how it goes for them in their later seeding games, because remember, they had a run there at the start of the season where they were winning games. And then there was a little bit of a period where other teams were looking at film and figuring out what they were doing. So I don't know how much this is figure outable because some of it is just that Devin Booker is just an incredible basketball player and you can't figure out how to defend that level of talent. But I do want to see how they stand up when they are front running and to see how they do under the mental pressure that they're now going to be on. Nobody thinks this is just for fun anymore. Phoenix believes that they have a chance to be in that play-in game. So I'm excited to see what happens there. All right, guys, we're going to continue to talk about this game behind me. We've got the Sixers, we've got the Wizards, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, and this new lineup. I'm going to get these guys' thoughts on whether this lineup that has only taken 13 minutes together is going to be playing well behind me today. And then, of course, we're going to talk a little Wiz because, you know, I'm from D.C. Coming up, we're also going to talk about the Nets' Garrett Temple. He said that the Rockets, who are staying in the same hotel as them, gave them tips on how to beat the Bucks. Is that BS or real talk? Well, that's coming up next on The Jump. I gotta grab my sunscreen, guys.
The ball deserves to go in the crowd after a bull move like that.
I think it's bull.
I just thought it was bull.
Don't give me that crap.
Right.
All right. Oh, it's so good to have BS or Real Talk back. One of our favorite games. I give you quotes. Zach and Kendrick are going to determine if that quote is BS or, yep, real talk. First up, guys, the Nets shocked the Milwaukee Bucks on Monday. They were 19-point underdogs, making this the biggest upset in 27 years. However, Brooklyn may have had a little inside information. Here is Garrett Temple.
We stayed in the same hotel as the Houston Rockets, and we talked to them by the pool yesterday, and we told them we were playing Milwaukee and asked them a few things that they did. So that they beat them. You know, obviously they're very undersized. That's how they play. And you know, they gave us a few tips, and we took that to heart.
So Kendrick, is Garrett Temple saying that the Rockets chatting with the Nets by the pool and giving them tips led to the victory? Is that BS or real talk?
That's real talk. And Rachel, you know it's real talk by the interviews you had with Giannis and James. We know there's two guys that don't like each other. The Rockets just beat the Bucks previous before that, and they gave them the tips. Because if you watched the game last night, they loaded up the paint in the first half. They took away Giannis' driving lanes. And on the offensive end, they moved the ball, and they shot three-pointers. They knocked down threes, and that's how they beat the Bucks. The Nets shot the three very well. So that's real talk. I know the Rockets gave them some points.
BS, BS. Unless the Rockets told the Nets to tell Mike Budenholzer to not play his best players in the second half as that strategy, I'm calling BS.
What? How, Zach? They put up 70 points on them in the first half with their players on the floor. That's real talk.
Wait, Kendrick, wait. You guys can't get into a long argument about that because I got to move on to the next BS or real talk. In the Celtics Heat game, Marcus Smart fouled out of the game in the third quarter. He was not happy with the officials. He let them hear it. But don't worry, because Jaylen Brown has got his back. Take a listen.
Don't pick on Smart, man. Come on, we need him. Don't pick on Smart, man. Come on, we need him.
All right, so Zach, is Jaylen Brown saying that the refs are picking on Marcus Smart BS or real talk?
Come on, Jaylen Brown. Come on, look, he's being a good teammate, so in that sense, it's real talk. You gotta stick up for your teammates. Perk will say this. Rule number one, stick up for your teammates. But no, BS. The refs are not targeting Marcus Smart. The refs do not come into games with vendettas against players. So I'm going BS, but I like Jaylen Brown supporting his teammate. That's a very nice teammate.
Zach, here's what Zach wrong again. Here's where he's wrong again. It's real talk, because the refs have a history of not putting their pride aside and picking on players. I watched that game yesterday, and at least three of those fouls were not fouls. They had a radar, they was targeting Marcus Smart, and I'm standing with Jaylen Brown. Stop picking on Marcus Smart, period.
I don't know, guys. Every player thinks that the foul was not, that he didn't commit it, and every one player thinks that the ball did not go out on them every time. I don't know if we can trust a player on this, Kendrick. I'm sorry. I just got to say that you guys always think you're right, that every call is wrong and everyone's being persecuted. So
well,
I'm just saying.
Well, Rachel, listen, I was a victim of refs picking on me. So I know. I know how it feels. I know how it feels.
All right. Last but not least, I want to revisit the Jump's longest running soap opera. Yes, this is near and dear to my heart. It's time for As the Kings Turn. Oh, yes. In today's installment, our heroes, they have fallen to 0-3 inside of the bubble after losing to the Mavericks yesterday in overtime. Yet, despite all of their woes on the court and off, the hero they need, veteran guard Kent Bazemore, is doing his best to keep morale up inside the Sacramento locker room. Listen to the Kings' latest leading man, quote, "I told the guys after the game, we're progressing, not regressing. We've got 5 games left, and if we figure it out, we run these 5 off, who knows where we are? We're still right in the thick of things. The optimism is still there." Oh, Kendrick, it warms the heart to hear them say like this. Is Bazemore's script for As the Kings Turn, his optimism for the Kings, BS or real talk?
Well, listen, Rachel, they are playing some good basketball and they're losing. And they are trending in the right, direction. It's just not for the bubble. They're trending in the right direction for next season. So that's BS. They, even if they run off 5 games, I think they playing catch up and they will not have a chance to make the playoffs. So I appreciate Kim Bazemore for being optimistic and being that veteran leader, but that's BS.
Real talk. Come on, Kings. Don't give up. If they beat the Pelicans tomorrow, they have a fighting chance. Look, everyone likes to make fun of the Kings, the Kangs, same old Kings. They had a lot of positive COVID tests. They had an accidental food delivery quarantine. It's not shocking that they got off to a slow start. It's still salvageable.
Accidental.
It's still salvageable for them. That's all I'm saying. If they beat the Pelicans tomorrow, their schedule is relatively easy compared to some of the other teams. I like Kent Bazemore's optimism. I'm calling it real talk. Go Kings.
Man, Zach is saying there's a chance. I don't know. Major plot twist if that happens, but we'll keep an eye on As the Kings Turn. Thank you, boys, for joining me for this one. Stay tuned, because coming up, after clinching the number one seed out West, should we expect the Lakers to hit cruise control in their remaining seeding games? Zach says there's still plenty of work for them to do before the postseason starts. Stick around.
As you can see, we're getting ready to hit the floor in just a few minutes.
Chris Paul is the godfather of one of LeBron's children and one of his very best friends in the world.
Oh, yeah! See, he stinks. Tell him I said it.
Paul against LeBron.
Man, that's my brother right there, LeBron. Every time we play, man, the most dominant guy in the game. And we just got to try to make it tough on him.
Woohoo! Tonight we got another great doubleheader for you. Chris Paul and OKC take on, yes, one of his closest friends, LeBron James and the Lakers, at 6:30 Eastern. I'm going to be on the sidelines for that game. And then the Nets square off against the Celtics. Our coverage tips off with NBA Countdown at 6 Eastern on ESPN and the app. So the Lakers clinched the top seed in the West with their win on Monday. Zach, what do you think is left for LA to accomplish during these five remaining seeding games, starting with, in fact, tonight against the Thunder?
Number one, don't get injured. Number two, catch a lot of fish. And other than that, pretty much a whole lot of nothing, except two things. Number one, Kyle Kuzma has looked really good in the bubble. He's had a lot of really nice defensive possessions against good players. He's shooting the three well. Keep Kuz in rhythm and keep seeing what you got in Deion Waiters. This is getting kind of interesting how much they're letting him handle the ball and how good he looks doing it, kind of giving LeBron a little bit of a rest. So those two things, other than don't get injured.
Well, no, Zach. They have a lot left to do in these next few games, and that's continue to build chemistry. It's a lot on Frank Vogel to make sure that he get his rotations down and implementing Deion Waiters, J.R. Smith, and finding different rotations and experimenting, and also making sure that guys stay in game shape. Also making sure that guys keep their rhythm. Also making sure that his two guys in LeBron James and Anthony Davis are prepared and ready to go when the playoffs start. So they still have a lot of fixing to do. Still have a lot of chemistry things to figure out before the playoffs, and I'm pretty sure that the Lakers are going to take these games very seriously going into the bubble. Yeah. Going into the playoffs.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because this is kind of what happens toward the end of the regular season, even during a regular year, right? Teams are trying to balance resting their players but keeping them still in rhythm enough that they can hit the playoffs and the ground running. I was interested whether LeBron and Anthony Davis were going to even play tonight. Frank Vogel told me that indeed they will start. They will play as close to their regular minutes as they can. I do think that there is room, and you mentioned Deion Waiters, Zach. There is room to try to get more reps for Waiters, ball handling, chemistry with different guys. Same thing for J.R. Smith. Remember, Avery Bradley is not with this team. They have brought in some guys to make up for that, but I do think that they need to get everybody reps with each other so that by the time they are in possibly a very tough first-round matchup, they could be facing Portland. They could be facing the Pelicans. They could be facing, right, San Antonio. The Memphis Grizzlies hold that spot now, but obviously the injury to Jaren Jackson means that one of those other teams with key veteran players could give the Lakers a tough first round. So I think that they need to use these seeding games to actually stay in the kind of mold they can be to win game one when it happens. All right, guys, I want to hit Nets Celtics, that other game tonight as well. Brad Stevens said that Kemba Walker will not be available in order to rest on the second night of a back-to-back. But as for Kemba's health overall, Stevens was very optimistic. I thought this was fascinating. Take a listen.
The only reason he's not playing in back-to-back is because we're not going hard 2 days in a row. And he's continuing to strengthen right now. His minutes will incrementally increase again Friday. So, you know, by the time the playoffs roll around, he'll be up to his normal minutes.
So, Perk, you were initially taking the Celtics to come out of the East. You were sticking with your team. But then you changed your pick to the Raptors because of Kemba Walker's knee injury. So now Brad Stevens is saying Kemba will be back to his normal minutes, that he expects him to be right by the start of the playoffs. Do you want to switch your pick back to Boston?
Rachel, are you trying to set me up? No, I'm staying with the Toronto Raptors. Watching them in the bubble, they have been the best team in the bubble thus far. They play inspiring basketball on both ends of the floor. They're the stingiest defensive team. They're tied together. They don't care who shines on what given night on the offensive end. You know what? If I'm watching the game, the game that I want my sons to watch is the Toronto Raptors. They play team ball on the on the offensive end. They play great defensive team ball on the defensive end. They're well coached, and they got a lot of guys and a lot of talent, and they got dogs. I'm sticking with the Toronto Raptors to coming out of the East, Rachel. You tried to set me up like T-Mac did. I'm not flip-flopping. I'm staying with my pick.
We
welcome Perk to the Toronto bandwagon. We're an inclusive bunch. The Spicy P bandwagon, we'll let anyone on. But look, the Kemba thing, I think it was a little disconcerting at first that 4 months off and it still wasn't right. And Boston is looking at Philly, Toronto, and if they get by that, Milwaukee, if they even get by Philly, that's a murderer's row. There is not one easy series. There is not one easy game if the seedings stay as they are now. They need Kemba Walker 100%, 30-plus minutes a game just to get out of the first round.
Yeah, definitely going to be tough for them. Perk, I'm not trying to trip you up. I just want to have it on record what your pick is. Have it on tape so it doesn't change again. But I'd have it now. It's the Raptors. And Zach's right. The Canadians are very nice, so they will let you come over to their side. They won't hold a grudge for you not picking them first. It's all good. All right, guys, coming up, the Sixers made tweaks to their starting lineup. You can see the Sixers warming up behind me now. They swapped out Al Horford for Shake Milton. Do you buy the new starting five in Philly? Stick with us. You're watching The Jump. Tomorrow from the IMG bubble in Bradenton, Florida, two more WNBA games for you on ESPN2 and the app. We got Breonna Stewart in the Storm taking on the Atlanta Dream at 6 o'clock Eastern. And at 10 o'clock Eastern, the Chicago Sky square off against Skylar Diggins-Smith and the Mercury. All right, guys, it's crunch time here on The Jump. WNBA players wore Vote Warnock t-shirts to games this week. That was in support of Raphael Warnock, who is challenging Atlanta Dream co-owner Kelly Loeffler for her U.S. Senate seat. Loeffler has, of course, spoken out about her opposition to the Black Lives Matter movement. So, Kendrick, what is your reaction to the entire WNBA league banding together to support her opponent?
Well, Rachel, listen, they have been standing on the front line from the beginning for years. Matter of fact, before the NBA started it, before the NBA players joined, the WNBA players were the forefathers of this. They were the ones that started this and it trickled down. So I always applaud them. And again, Rachel, I always tell you, listen, women, they don't do a lot of talking. They take action. Men do a lot of talking and then action comes a little later.
Amen,
but those
Perk.
Women, they are feisty.
Amen.
And they mean business. And I want to applaud all those women in the WNBA. Great job.
The WNBA players and female athletes in particular have led the way on social activism from the beginning. They are not beating around the bush. They're not being polite about it. They are being direct and to the point about what they want. They've already tweeted from their union account that they want her out of the league. So they're not beating around the bush. They're telling you exactly what they want. And like Perk says, they have constantly led the way.
It's absolutely their right to use their voices as American citizens. And also, we ask athletes all the time to be leaders in their community, to participate in initiatives that help the community. And if this is something they think is going to help their community, they certainly have every opportunity to use those voices. And I'm so, so proud to be associated with the WNBA for the amount of that these women care and that they are willing to stick their necks out. It is so impressive. All right, let's move on to Patrick Beverley. Injured his left calf in the first quarter. Did not return against the Suns last night. Doc Rivers said, quote, I don't think it's that bad, but we're going to be very cautious. I can tell you that. Zach, do you think the Clippers should be worried?
I mean, anytime you have a soft tissue injury like this, a calf injury after a four-month hiatus and a quick ramp-up, that's worrisome. I mean, Doc's optimism, that's great. I'm happy to hear that. But this is exactly the kind of injury that the sports science people and the trainers were worried about coming into the bubble after so much inactivity, relative inactivity anyway, for NBA players. And look, Patrick Beverley, he's not a star. He's not one of the more famous guys on their team. But he's a huge part of the Clippers.
Patrick
They're
Beverley
at their best.
Is a star, Zach Lowe. Come on.
He's a star of sorts, but he's a huge part of their defense. Their defense is way better when he's on the floor. He's an absolute monster defender. He guards bigger players, smaller players, the few smaller players there are. He is part of their identity. He is a bedrock part of the Clippers, and if they're going to go where they want to go, they need Patrick Beverley.
I agree with you, Zach. Listen, Patrick Beverley is the heart and soul of the Los Angeles Clippers. He gives them swagger, he brings tenacity, and by the way, he's gonna remind you, first team all defense. First team all defense. So they need Patrick Beverley in order for them to win the title. Period, point blank.
First team all trash talker too, don't forget that perk. All right, let's talk about T.J. Warren because he continues to stay hot, hot, hot. Dropped 32 last night in a win over the Magic. He's now averaging just under 40 points per game in the bubble. Now the other TJ, Mr. McConnell, said, quote, I think we all just kind of want to follow him around for the day, see what he's doing in the bubble. Maybe we can, you know, pick up some of that magic. Kendrick, do you expect TJ's hot hand to continue?
Yes, listen, he was doing it when he was in Phoenix, and he's been doing it all year long, Rachel. He's just been under the radar. We talking about a guy in TJ Warren who's been averaging almost 20 points a game at 50% shooting. He just haven't got to just do because he's been the third option. But guess what? Down here in the bubble, he's been their go-to guy. And not only has he been delivering UPS packages, but he's been signing and delivering boxes of Jordans and everything. He's in his bag right now. So he's going to continue to play this well. He cannot be stopped.
First of all, there should be a bubble scoring champion. We need to honor the bubble scoring champion. Second of all, no, TJ Warren is not going to put up a 65-60-90 line, but this dude can get buckets in his sleep. He's always been able to get buckets since he came into the league. The two big changes are he's shooting a lot more threes. He's even shooting threes off the dribble now. And he came into Indiana, and I give Nate McMillan a lot of credit for this. He bought in on defense. He grinds on defense. He never really did that in Phoenix. He's a really, really good all-around player.
And remember, traded for cash considerations. He has brought that up after several games here, and he thinks he plays a lot better than cash considerations. I don't know. We can do like a head-to-head at some point with the stats. We'll find out. All right, guys, I want to take a look at today's Dream Makers brought to you by Sprite. As we announced on The Jump recently, Jrue Holiday is using all of his game checks from the bubble, which could be worth up to $5.3 million, to start the Jrue and Lauren Holiday Social Justice Impact Fund. They're going to be donating the funds to nonprofits, Black-owned businesses, citywide initiatives that seek to bring out equitable outcomes for Black and brown communities in New Orleans, Indianapolis, and the Los Angeles family area. It was so great to have Jrue on our show to announce that and talk about it. And we give some kudos and claps to the Holiday family for that. They represent the best of all of us. All right, let's talk about the Denver Nuggets as well. They currently sit at third in the Western Conference, entering play today. That would set them up for a first-round matchup with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Perk, which team presents an ideal matchup for the Nuggets in the playoffs? Because, you know, Thunder making a bid, who else?
Well, I tell you, it's not the Oklahoma City Thunder. They better stay clear away from them. And every top contender in the West better stay clear away from the Thunder. If I'm the Nuggets, I'm trying to target and position myself to play the Utah Jazz in the first round. That's the team that they want to face. That's the team that they have the best chance of beating. Any other one of those teams that's down there, they need to stay far away as possible from them, especially Chris Paul and the Thunder.
First, they need to get healthy. I hope all those guys get healthy. Number two, I think the answer, honestly, is not Houston, just like it was last year. I think that James Harden, Nikola Jokic matchup is problematic for Denver's defense. But Denver has graduated from this discussion. Denver should not care who they play. They should say, you know what, we can beat all of these teams. And the reality, as Perk hinted at, all these teams can beat each other. It's going to be an absolutely wild first round in the West.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see what this Nuggets team is like in the first round. They obviously had so many missing pieces when they got here to the bubble, so they're just getting their legs back under them, their chemistry back. We will be watching. All right, League Pass game of the night, the game that's right behind me right now. They're warming up, guys. Sixers-Wizards tips off at 4 o'clock Eastern. Philly is 1-1 in the bubble with their new starting lineup of Shake Milton, Josh Richardson, Tobias Harris, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid. Zach, are you buying this lineup after what you've seen over the first two games?
Well, I've barely seen any of it. They've only played 13 minutes in two games. I think they're minus two, mostly because of Simmons' foul trouble the other night. But I'm buying it because I do think it's the right answer to separate Simmons, Embiid, and Horford so that only two of them are on the floor at the same time. It's their best shot at hitting their ceiling as a team on offense. So I'm buying it. I need to see more, but I'm buying it.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Zach. I'm buying it. But look, Brett Brown has to let Ben Simmons do what he do best, and that's roll to the basket, that's get post-ups. That's why he moved them to the forward position. Listen, let's not encourage Ben Simmons to shoot jumpers. That's not who he is. That's not who he's going to be. Put him in position to be successful like he did. He did it in college, and he's going to do it at this forward position. Just because he's playing the power forward doesn't mean he's not going to be a facilitator. When they get stops, he still could push the pace, run the offense, dribble handoff, create mismatches where he could get it on the low block and shoot his right and left jump hook. So I'm excited about watching this new lineup. I think it's going to work out fine for him. And great move, well, good move by Brett Brown. Great adjustment.
Well, look, it was nice to see Shake Milton and Joel Embiid having so much fun on the court together in the previous game, since in the first game we saw them get into a little chatter on the sidelines with each other. And right. A big part of the seeding games for these Philadelphia 76ers is going to be chemistry. They had such a rocky and uneven season, injuries affecting that team. The idea that they are going to be able to coalesce and come together before the playoffs start in just six games for them is so important. We'll be watching right here today to see if they get on track. Thanks, guys. We're back on ESPN2 tomorrow. We'll see you then. Yeah.